thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yes, it's the Urban Sports Scene, and we're back live.
What's going on, man?
From the studio. I'm good, man. I'm good. My team is undefeated. My little homies, Green Belt Boys and Girls, 11 and under basketball team. We just beat the undefeated, well, the formerly undefeated Upper Marlboro team. And now we're undefeated. They're not. We won 22-23. Great game by, you know, our star player.
Must have been a defensive struggle, 22-23.
Well, you know, when you're dealing with young kids, especially the ages, they're all about the age of 10. 11 and under is basically 10-year-olds. You're not going to hit the high scoring 60-point, 40-point games. We got a 22-23 game. It was high intensity. A coach got a tech, not us. I know it's odd, right? We didn't get the tech.
Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah. I thought it would be.
I'm going to give credit to Al because Al did a great job with playing mind games with the coach. And obviously, the coach couldn't take it anymore. And he went over the edge. And at a key point in the game, he got a tech. And we had all the momentum. Jonathan, I think you know Jonathan, had 9 points, dominated the game. I'm going to say this, probably the best ball player in 11 under, bar none. I said this, yes. I said
You already got the scouting report ready for him, huh?
Hey, I'm just telling the folks right now, Jonathan, y'all, I'm not going to give y'all his last name, but Jonathan will be a star, definitely playing high school ball, varsity. The dude's about to do a big. Dude's about to do a big.
Oh, okay. Oh, well. All right, but let's get into a couple reads before we get started.
Yeah.
You can also listen to the Voice of the Fans at Voice of the Fan Podcast at www.blogtalkradio.com/The Voice of the Fan. The show is hosted by Alex and Jeff. Our show is syndicated on an internet radio station, Real People, Real Talk Radio. This site is managed by our good friends from Applegee's. Make sure you visit the site at www.realpeoplerealtalk.com. Also, when we open up the lines, feel free to call in at 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904.
And I know what I'm going to do. I'm gonna do a real cool thing. I'm going to open up the lines early. So the lines are open if you want to call. So they're open.
All right, but let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Nationals news. Spring training started. You know, some individual have been playing pretty well. Jordan Zimmermann, I believe, shut down the Yankees for about 3 or 4 innings of no-hit ball. So, you know, Nationals are doing some good things. But something that caught my eye is Ryan Zimmerman right now is basically playing a little bit of first base right now in spring training. He's fielding at first, and Rendon is playing third base. So it's interesting to know what's going to happen with all that. Obviously, they have Adam LaRoche, so maybe down the road, are they thinking about trading Adam LaRoche and playing Ryan Zimmerman at first?
Well, I think this is more of a look towards the future. We all know that anyone who knows Rendon, he's come up and he's played well at second base. But in the minor leagues, he was a third baseman. That's what he was originally drafted as. Also, you have Ryan Zimmerman, who's had some issues over at third with some of his erratic throwing. So, you know, you put him at first, you still have his bat in the lineup. You possibly shift Rendon to third in the future. And also, with Adam LaRoche, LaRoche didn't have the strongest of years last year. He started to turn it on towards the end. So possibly, you know, if LaRoche doesn't start off strong, you could possibly see that shift in the lineup. Just because if you're the Nats, you don't want to start off like you did last year, having to catch, you know, the Atlanta Braves and putting yourself in the hole. So it'll be interesting to see, but I think there's more of a move that's with an eye towards the future, probably next season more than this season.
Yeah, I can see down the road the Nats trading LaRoche during this season, depending how the season goes on, and having Ryan Zimmerman play first. It's just interesting to me because Ryan Zimmerman is a Gold Glove caliber third baseman. Yeah, he had throwing issues, which came out of nowhere to me. He's a slick fielding. Third baseman, then all of a sudden he has this issue where he can't find first base from throwing from third to first. So we'll see how that plays out. Other news for the Nets, it's an interesting debate going on who's going to be their third starter between Ross Detweiler.
Fifth starter.
The fifth, I'm sorry. Fifth starter between Ross Detweiler And I forgot some of the other
Jason Taylor.
Jason Taylor. Jason is Jason Taylor?
I forgot his last name. I know his last name is Taylor. I forgot Jason. I don't know where I got Jason from. But Taylor, Detweiler, and
it's somebody. I forgot his name. I had it on my notes too, and I looked them up too. I'm obviously, you could tell that if I didn't care about the other two, that I'm in favor of Ross Detweiler. I think that Detweiler, he's come back in spring. His velocity is about the same. I mean, anytime you're coming up back from injury, you want to make sure that you have your velocity back. His velocity is back. He's a decent pitcher. He was high in the organization before Strauss and all these other Strauss and all these big guys like Zimmerman came in. So he's a guy that in my honest opinion should get a chance to be the fifth starter in the rotation. I mean, it's the fifth starter. We're not looking for an ace.
Yeah, I mean, fifth starter, you want a guy that's reliable every fifth day, that, you know, pretty much can break even when he goes out there on it, you know, for starts for the whole season and get you some quality innings. And a guy you don't really have to worry about at the end of the rotation. But I'm excited for opening day to get here. You know, I watched but I was listening to a little bit of the Nets and the Yankees. Spring training game.
You did listen to the game.
Yeah, I listened to a little bit. I'm not going to say I listened to a lot, but I listened to a little bit of it. Very excited about Nats baseball. And it's this time of year, it's actually a good time of year to be a Washington, D.C. sports fan.
Explain.
You have the Nats, who a lot of people are projecting as a possible World Series champion.
Again?
Yeah.
Again?
Yeah. You have the Wizards, who look like they're surging there. Even though they lost to Miami last night, 99-90, they've been, prior to that, they won 7 of their 8 last games. And they look like they're going to lock up a playoff spot. And it looks like they could potentially advance to the second round.
So that'd
be interesting. You have the Capitals, who are vying for a playoff spot.
They may not make it, though.
They may not make it, but, you know, they're continuing to make a strong push. Attempt, anyway. I'm not going to say push, but attempt.
There you go.
For the last playoff spot. So that'll be interesting. And also, you know, at 4-1 kicked off the Washington Redskins championship run.
What do you mean a championship run? Who are you referring to?
Outside of the past 2 years, this has been the time when you all have claimed your offseason championship.
We don't do stuff like that no more.
And that's free agency.
You live in the past, man.
I'm not living in the past.
Some of y'all live in the past.
I'm not living in the past,
because we haven't done that in a while.
Because the past 2 years, you haven't had the necessary cap space.
You had the
$18 million.
We have cap space now. Have you heard anything going on in terms of big time?
No, nothing big time.
Exactly.
Give it time.
We're in a whole different era, man.
But no, I mean, it's just exciting. You know, it's just an exciting time to be. You know, you got spring starting. It's a pretty nice day today. So
7-degree weather. It's tennis weather.
Yeah, it was a great. No, it's bike riding weather.
I call it tennis weather. You can call it whatever you want to. It's tennis weather. Ray G, you listen to the show, call in and say it's tennis weather.
Whatever. But no, it's an exciting time to be a Washington sports fan, and, you know, I'm excited.
I'm not really excited for the Nats, but I do hope the Nats
I know you aren't.
I do. Bryce Harper, hopefully Bryce Harper, you know, has that season everybody hopes he's going to
Bryce came back big.
She made.
Did you see pictures of him?
No, I haven't seen
him. Oh, he looks like the Hulk.
He's on steroids?
No, not on steroids.
He's just on HGH? Like,
I don't think he's on any of that stuff. I think that he's a young man who spent a lot of time in the weight room.
His
cranium isn't big. You know, people on HGH and steroids, their frontal lobe gets bigger. So he doesn't look like he has any of that going on. But no, I'm excited. I'm excited to get to the ballpark.
I know. I've never been to the new Nat Stadium.
You haven't?
No, not at all.
I'm not going to say it's the greatest ball. Camden Yards is probably more beautiful than.
I haven't been to Camden Yards in years, though.
I haven't been there either.
I haven't been there since like 1993.
I'm going to tell you the last time it's been a while since Palmeiro was there. So it's been a long time.
That's after me.
But it's actually, Camden Yards is a great place to catch a ball game, though, on a nice, cool night.
Yeah.
It's a great place. But Nat Stadium is also a fantastic place to catch a ball game.
I know people get drunk over there. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
I heard they get drunk.
Yeah, they do.
It's a drunk thing. It's a drunk event.
Yeah. You know, ish-faced.
Yes, you know how it is.
But anyway, man, let's keep going down to pregame. The Orioles, your team, the Orioles.
Yes, now we can talk.
They signed Johan Santana to a minor league deal. Speak on it.
It was a move that I've been asking for a while. You know, It's a move that the Orioles have been accustomed of making. Low risk, high reward. Johan is an individual who was a Cy Young, who's at the time was one of the most dominant pitchers in baseball, and obviously he had Tommy John surgery, and you know he kept having to get Tommy John surgery, and if we can get him on it, we get him on a cheap. He has a minor league deal. If he pans out, he can be a front of the rotation guy. If he is, he may not be what he used to be, but good enough, you know, close enough. If he can get close to that ability, the Orioles have a steal. Johan never really threw, in his later part of his career, he never really threw about 95. He was throwing about 92, which is good. His changeup is out of this world. So I don't believe that his changeup is going anywhere. And secondly, what he will do for this organization and the pitching staff, he will teach the young pitchers how to become a front of the line starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. And that's the most important thing to me.
But I think you failed to neglect the most important, I guess, cautionary tale about signing him. It's always a thing, you know, when a pitcher goes from the NL to the AL.
Yeah.
So I think that could be a major risk. But he's been the AL.
He's been the Minnesota. He was dominant in Minnesota when he's an AL pitcher.
Yeah, but last couple of years he's been what?
But Mets. If usually you would be right. You would be correct if he never pitched in the American League. He started as an American League pitcher. He went to the postseason, played the Yankees. He would pitch well against the Yankees. The Yankees, when they had the Bronx Bombers, so he
still are the Bronx Bombers,
whatever you want to call it. So he's accustomed to the major to the American League. I mean, he went against the Chicago White Sox. He's pitched against the Detroit Tigers. He's seen some of the strong home run threats in the American League. My point is that if you can get Johan Santana, if he's throwing about say 91 miles per hour, then in my opinion, you have a steal because that changeup is still there. If he's throwing 85, then it's an issue. But if he's throwing 91, it's a problem. And the Orioles have now put themselves, again, like I stated 2 weeks or 2 to 3 weeks ago when they got Nelson Cruz and Jimenez, this team now is in prime form to do some damage in the AL. Not the AL East, but in the AL, period.
But it'll be interesting to see how it plans out for Johan Santana and the Orioles organization. They're also having discussions for them to sign Ervin Santana.
Yeah, if they get Ervin Santana, then this has been like Christmas for me as an Oriole fan. Having Ervin Santana now gives us an opportunity to have a long man in the bullpen, either Miguel Gonzalez or Norris, who we got in a trade last season from Houston. So if we did sign an Ervin Santana, it'd have a trickle down effect for this team to actually bolster their bullpen. So this again, if we can make this happen, I'm gonna say again, I think we're definitely favorites in the AL East. In period, especially with the offensive juggernaut that we have now, with Cruz and Jones and Chris Davis and Matt Wieters and Manny Machado. This team can be even more dangerous.
So it'll be some interesting baseball being played on Corridor 295 going from D.C. to Baltimore. So
that 295, crap.
Yeah, 295. But anyway, let's get to the big fight that was last Saturday.
Go ahead.
Canelo, Saul Alvarez defeated Alfredo Angulo in the 10th round by TKO.
I didn't see the fight, but maybe, I know you did.
No, I didn't, actually.
You didn't
see
the fight?
I wasn't paying for that. I was not paying for that fight. No,
you didn't see the fight. I thought you saw the fight.
I caught it. Well, I didn't see it live, but okay. I did get a chance to catch it online.
Okay, got you. I got you.
Pretty much what I thought happened.
He
stayed in front of him. Angulo, very brave, decent chin. He was the right person for
Canelo
to come back against, you know, because a guy who likes to come forward at you and has a strong chin, he'll take two punches to give one. So what happened, I actually think that the referee shouldn't have stopped the fight when he stopped it. Angulo was actually very still engaged and active, throwing punches.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard it was a premature stoppage.
Yeah, it was a premature stoppage. But anyway, it was going, if it went to a decision, Canelo was still going to,
no, he was dominating.
He was dominating the fight. Mm-hmm. At least, he would have won probably like 9-3 on a scorecard, but a great fight for him to get his feet wet again after coming off the loss against Floyd Mayweather. What's next for him?
Yeah, that's a big question.
That's a great question. As everyone, people who follow the sport know, there's a huge fight Puerto Rican Day, mm-hmm. Puerto Rican weekend, June 7th with Miguel Cotto versus Sergio Martinez in Madison Square Garden, which would be primetime viewing to be on HBO pay-per-view. I think that he'll probably face the winner of that fight sometime in December, and what you'll see probably is around September, probably possibly on the Floyd Mayweather undercard. You'll see him facing a guy like Edisande Lara, and a lot of people.
A lot of
people aren't familiar with him, but Lara, he a very slick boxer.
Yes, he is.
He beat Paul Williams previously.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And actually, he Angulo's previous fight was against Lara. So it'll be an interesting fight for Canelo Alvarez, because we saw what a slick boxer, i.e. Floyd Mayweather, can do against him. So I'm not saying Lara has that type of defensive skills and that ability to slip punches and kind of throw punches in combinations with that hand speed, but he does have the ability to make it a awkward fight for Canelo. So I'm interested to see if that fight is able to come to it. Fruition.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
No problem.
And around September or August. So it'll definitely be something everyone will be paying attention to.
I remember, I don't know, we said it on this show, maybe it was off the air when we were hanging out. But I think you said Khan and Broner are going to be on undercarder.
They were saying that, well, actually Floyd Mayweather said that if Amir Khan wants to prove himself, because he feels as if you look at his past four fights, he hasn't proven himself to get the shot on May 3rd. Mm-hmm. He was saying if he wanted to prove, Floyd Mayweather Jr. said if Amir Khan wanted to prove himself, then fight on the undercard of his fight against Adrian Broner. And if he wins that fight, then he'll have the fight September 15th.
So basically trying to help. He's trying to feed his little son, that's what I call Broner, a bone.
I don't think necessarily that would have been him throwing Broner a bone, because just being honest, when it comes to fighting elite level fighters, Adrian Broner, he has too many antics about him. He doesn't have that tunnel vision, that hunger to put all of that aside and concentrate on training so he can get to the level that he thinks that he's at.
But
it would have definitely been a hell of a fight, but I just don't think, because if you think about it realistically, both of those fighters are under the Golden Boy Promotions umbrella. And whoever would have lost that fight would have gone on to be kind of a gatekeeper.
Yeah, I got you.
A gatekeeper meaning a guy that you throw in with an opponent that's on the up and coming.
That's
so they would have been just like, they would be essentially what Zab Judah is now.
Sugar Shane Mosley.
Yeah,
last couple years,
a gatekeeper, right. You know what I mean? So I don't think either one of those fighters want to go in that direction right now, you know, and also potentially it could be a huge fight down the line if both of those guys keep winning and both of those guys are impressive. So you probably see Amir Khan fighting a guy like a Carlos Molina sometimes in May, because he needs to get back in the ring soon, because he hasn't fought since last April. So it has almost been a year. So he needs to get back in the ring soon. Carlos Molina, people who aren't familiar, the name sounds familiar. He had an impressive win against Victor Ortiz the week of the Super Bowl in New York. So he's most likely a likely opponent for Amir Khan. I don't think that's the type of opponent that puts him on, gives him the name recognition for a Floyd Mayweather fight in September.
Yeah.
But I think it's the type of fight that if he looks impressive, starts to get him back on the road, and maybe, you know, if there's no one for him to fight September 15th, maybe he picks Amir Khan. But most likely, if he, you know, Amir Khan needs about one or two strong showings before he can get that fight.
But he's picking Maidana.
Well,
over, but that's not a big name.
Well, it's not a big name. But you have to think about it. Who's Maidana? His last victory came against Adrian Broner.
Yeah, big name.
A big name.
Yeah, okay, I got you.
So you know what I mean. And plus, prior to that, Maidana has had like his last four fights have been impressive.
Oh, they have. I like Maidana. I think he's an exciting boxer. He brings the fight to you. He's a guy that's willing to take a punch. So
yeah, he'll take two to give one.
Exactly. So which fits Mayweather's style anyway.
Man, I mean, it does. But, you know, I mean, it just realistically with the Cold War between Golden Boy and Top Rank, you know, Top Rank has two of the top welterweights in Manny Pacquiao and also in Tim Bradley. But they're fighting each other in April. And that's, to me personally, that's probably a more competitive fight that I would, if I had to choose paying for one fight.
Yeah, of course.
It would be Pacquiao versus Bradley over Mayweather versus Madonna. Because I've seen that. I've seen how this is going to play out. I've seen it too many times.
We've seen how Pacquiao and Bradley paid out because they fought already.
Yeah, we've seen, but there's a different edge to this one, you know. Bradley is coming off of
a big win.
One of his most exciting fights last year against Ruslan Provetnikov. And also you have Manny Pacquiao,
and beating what's his name? Bradley beating Marquez.
Which is huge for his career. Mm-hmm. And then also you have Pacquiao, a guy who has something to prove. You know, who got knocked out cold versus Marquez and then looked okay against Brandon Rios. And, you know, for him to come back, and a lot of people think that he really didn't lose the fight against Tim Bradley.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that fight is more compelling, is more exciting. It's just that undercard is terrible for that fight versus the Floyd Mayweather fight, which will have a better undercard.
Yeah, we're going to dive into that Timothy Bradley and Manny Pacquiao thing down the road. But it's about time for a commercial break. When we get back, we'll be talking about the NFL free agency and also the Washington Redskins and how they're being a small player in this.
Paper champions, baby.
A small player in this year's free agency. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Time out! Okay, guys, Summers really had his bell rung and could have a concussion. I'm pulling him out for the game. Rodriguez, you're in for Summers.
Come on, coach. It's just a ding. I'll shake it off.
Yeah, he's tough. Plus, we need to win this to make the playoffs.
Listen, we're a team and we need to look out for each other. Concussions are serious. No game is more important than your health.
Take concussions out of play. If you're a coach, know the warning signs and never let athletes return to play before a healthcare professional says it's okay. A message from CDC.
This one's for you and me, living out our dreams. We're all right where we should be. With my arms out wide, I open my eyes. And now all I wanna see is a sky full of lighters. A sky full of lighters.
Time you hear this, I will have already spiraled up. I would never do nothing to let you cowards f*** my world up. If I was you, I would duck or get struck like lightning fighters. Keep fighting, put your lighters up, point them skyward, Had a dream, I was king, I woke up, still king. Smap canes, nipple is mine for the milk king. Till nobody else even f***ing feels me, till it kills me. I swear to God, I'll be the f***ing illest in this music. There is or there ever will be. Disagree, feel free, but from now on refusing to ever give up. Only thing I ever gave up's using. No more excuses, excuse me. If my head is too big for this building, and pardon me if I'm a cocky, but you are slick, popping on how you flipped your life around. Rockers, who you trying to kid? Flip, you did opposite, you stay the same. Backwards is still you. I love it when I tell him shove it, cause it wasn't that long ago when Marshall said busted lackluster, cause he couldn't cut, mustard muster up, nothing brain fuzzy, cause he's buzzing, woke up from that buzzing. Now you wonder why he does it, how he does it. Wasn't cause he had buzzards circling around his head, waiting for him to drop dead, was it? Or was it cause some bitches wrote him off? I guess it doesn't matter now, cause
this one's for you and me, living out our dreams. We're all right where we should be. With my arms out wide, I open my eyes. And now all I wanna see is a sky full of lighters. A sky full of lighters.
By the time
time you hear this, I'll probably already be outing. I advance like going from toting iron to going and buying 4 or 5 of the homies, the Iron Man Audi. My daddy told me, slow down, boy, you're going to blow it. And I ain't got to stop to beat a minute to tell Shady I love him the same way that he did Dr. Dre on the Chronic. Tell him how real he is, or how high I am, or how I would kill for him to know it. I cried plenty tears. My daddy got a bad back, so it's only right that I write till he can march right into that post office and tell him to hang it up. Now his career is LeBron's jersey in 20 years. I stopped when I'm at the very top. You spit on me on your way up. It's about to be a scary drop. Cause what goes up must come down. You going down, I'm something you don't wanna see. Like a box. Every hour, happy hour now. Life is wacky now. Used to have the cat to get the now I'm just to cast me out. Ow, I'm classic cow. Always down for the catch weight. Like Pacquiao, y'all are doomed. I remember when T-Pain ain't wanna work with me. My car starts itself, parks itself in auto-tune. Now Bruno can show his ass without the MTV Awards gag.
You and I know what it's like to be kicked down for somebody.
Yeah, that was Eminem giving us some good little leeway. Then we start, basically having me stall some time.
I don't know why you didn't play Lil Boosie. Lil Boosie home.
Lil Boosie back in jail, I heard.
Well, I don't know why.
Lil Boosie slipping. Lil Boosie, I already got caught up with the weed.
Well, I don't know. I just know he was released at one point. Everything is better in the world when Boosie is out, you know, free.
What? Really, though?
Everything is better in the world. Yeah, my life has gotten better since Lil Boosie's been home. Just kidding.
Boosie? Savage lifestyle, the savage.
Trill ENT, baby.
Trill ENT. Hey, Trill left when you know when so and so passed away. So let's be real.
When legendary Pimp C.
Exactly, Pimp C. You know what I'm talking about? That's when Trill left.
All right. Well, anyway, you can listen to our show by visiting our official Urban Sports Scene website at www.waleo.podbeam.com. Waleo is spelled W-A-L-E-O. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search Urban Sports Scene. If you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can listen to us on the Sports Crib podcast show on Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Stillafan. The show is produced by West Coast Stillafan. Also, once again, feel free to give us a call on the lines. The lines are open at 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904.
All right, it's time to start that good old Washington Redskins discussion, free agency, and also signing
good
moves. You know, I had to, that's a reference to you know who. My man, Fish, what's going on, homie? Hope you're listening. Probably not. All right. The Redskins franchise, Brian Orakpo, thoughts? I'm going to let you
sorry about that.
So you just crushed the water. I know. My bad. That's my fault.
I guess I'm not a huge fan of it just because you're paying a guy $11 million if you don't reach a long-term agreement with him. He hasn't been a playmaker, per se. For the Redskins, you know. No, I'm just being honest. These just my opinions. Just my opinion. This is a guy who's averaged eight sacks.
8.5, probably 9. It's okay. About 9 for real, but go ahead.
No, it's 5 years.
8.5. We did the math already.
Yeah, 8.5. Actually, he has a total of 39.5 sacks. So it's technically not 8.5. It's more like 8 sacks.
We did the math already at a bar, so I don't know why now you're going back from what we
did. Well, no, because he had 39.5 sacks.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, look it up. I'm pretty sure it's 39.5 sacks over his career. I don't love the move. I understand why the Redskins had to make it, just because, A, for so long this has been a franchise that's traditionally hasn't paid its young talent that it's developed. So you want to get – you don't want to –
39.5.
Yeah, I remember. So you want to start to send a signal within that locker room and that organization that, hey, we do value the guys that we draft and kind of our homegrown talent besides, you know, going out and spending all this big dollars for free agents. Two, you're paying them if he doesn't get a long-term deal, you're paying a guy $11 million who's played on the defense the past 5 years, who hasn't sniffed anywhere near the top 10. So that's let me know he's not a difference maker. He gets sacks, You know, I know he's pretty good against the run. I know he can drop back into coverage. I understand that. But not for $11 million.
Real quick. Okay. So is DeMarcus Ware a playmaker, a difference maker?
Now, no. Absolutely not.
It's not his fault that his defense sucks. Or is Julius Peppers
Julius Peppers take plays off.
Okay, I can name a bunch of players. I'm not even done yet. I can name a whole bunch of players. Let's go. Bad defenses and haven't done what you're saying. Like, a defense is consistent of a whole team.
I understand that.
Like, Trent Cole is a good defensive player, right?
Yes.
That defense sucked last season.
Trent Cole is an okay defensive player.
No, but I'm saying, like, he's a good defensive player. You can't put one element on one player. Like, for real, like, to me, for instance, prime example, Daryl Green was playing good football even in his late – well, playing good, really good football in his late – well, not early. Let's say early 30s. Our defense was horrible because we had nobody around him. Is Daryl Green not is Daryl Green a bad defensive player
you're putting words in my mouth.
I'm just saying.
I never said Brian Arakpo isn't – I never said he's a terrible player. Yeah. I said he's not a difference maker, a playmaker, meaning he does not make – plays to me, and I've probably seen every Redskins game because I live in D.C. and I'm subjected to it.
He hasn't made a player. You're trying.
No, I'm not saying he doesn't make plays that change the outcome of the game.
He doesn't.
I.e., he's only had one touchdown. One touchdown as a defensive player.
Not everybody does that.
No. I.e., when he gets to the ball, when he gets to the quarterback and sacks him, he doesn't get strip fumbles. What I'm saying is he doesn't make plays that change the field for the Redskins.
He has done that. People tend to forget. I mean,
I'm just saying. Hey, I'm not saying he doesn't cause fumbles, but he doesn't do it in – he doesn't create a variety of turnovers for the defense. And that's – to me, that's conducive of a guy that gets $11 million a year.
I'm gonna say if you're a 10 sack guy, this is what it is. It is what it is. Last season he had 10 sacks after having an injury filled season the year before. He had 10 sacks on a bad defense and 10 sacks.
Now, 4.5 against the Oakland Raiders.
That doesn't mean that he has 10 sacks. It's a total. All right, he had 10 sacks.
How many did he have against the NFC East?
Let me finish the statement.
I'm sorry for being rude.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Go ahead.
Big up to Teacher Young for listening to the show. Thank you. Appreciate it, Kiva. Thanks for listening to the show. She's listening right now. Teacher
Young. What's up, Teacher Young?
All right. So, if I was rudely interrupted, now I can get my thoughts back. Let me gather it in. All right. He had 10 sacks this season. 10 sacks without even being used correctly. 10 sacks in playing pass coverage when he's more of a rushdown. He's a rusher regardless. 10 sacks doing all that. Now, you're asking me against the NFC East. How many times he back out in pass pro when this guy is supposed to be on the line trying to go after the quarterback? Same thing applies to Ryan Kerrigan. I'm not gonna be disrespectful to Ryan Kerrigan. The same thing. You have two of your best pass rushers, and they're out playing coverage. DeMarcus Ware, Clay Matthews, the dudes that people refer to as dominant players, and then Clay Matthews. You want to be real? That Packers D has been horrible for a while. What kind of difference maker has he really been over the last couple of years?
Well, I'll say this. Clay Matthews, when he gets to the quarterback, makes sack fumbles.
But, all right, that's true. But and at the same time, we're going to use your reference earlier. What you told me is was poor. The Green Bay Packers defense has been poor the last couple of seasons. Clay Matthews has been on that defense. So, to me, he's not a playmaker because he's not making that defense a top-tier defense. That defense for the last couple of seasons has been a lower-tier defense. So, is he a playmaker? Is he really a playmaker? Is he making impactful games, plays to change the game, change it for this team? I don't think so.
Super Bowl.
Aaron Rodgers has a Super Bowl.
But he led that defense, didn't he?
No, Charles Woodson led that defense that year, and he got hurt in the Super Bowl. Charles Woodson led that defense.
Charles Woodson got hurt in that game. And Clay Matthews made plays throughout that game.
No, Aaron Rodgers made plays throughout that game. Aaron Rodgers won that. Aaron Rodgers went against that Pittsburgh defense and did business. Aaron Rodgers. I don't remember. I don't remember Clay Matthews in that game.
Throughout that playoff rush, Clay Matthews got to the quarterback.
I know that Charles Woodson was making the plays before that Super Bowl. I know Charles Woodson was carrying that defense. I know Clay Matthews was a good Robin out there for Charles Woodson. But I know Charles Woodson was at the time, if I remember, serves me correctly, was a candidate for defensive MVP.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is that he to me, Clay Matthews, when Charles Woodson wasn't there anymore doing his thing, or Charles Woodson lost a step, that he wasn't a difference maker to me. If I'm using all what you know,
no,
what you
difference
me?
Maker, a guy who creates fumbles, gets interceptions.
So do you want to change? Do you want
No. I just said a difference maker to me is a guy that changes the field for the defense, who creates turnovers. And those are all the things that Clay Matthews does. You can't deny that those are things
not
that Clay Matthews does.
Not to me. I think Brian Arakpo does just as much at this point in time to Clay Matthews.
Look at Clay Matthews' stats. Look at Brian Arakpo. No, I'm saying only thing. This is what I'm saying. That's my criteria.
Look at
Clay Matthews.
I look at sacks. Truth be told, you get paid in the NFL for a defensive end, outside linebacker. You get paid. This is real talk. You get paid to sack the quarterback.
Yeah.
Brian Arakpo, when it comes to contract extensions,
Clay Matthews has a season which I believe he had like 12 or 15 sacks. Hey, Brian Arakpo cannot say that. And I'll make a bold declaration here. Never will Brian Arakpo ever say that.
Oh, he will. He will.
No, he will ever say that.
Oh, he will. Oh, he will.
I don't believe that.
Oh, he will. Oh, he will.
No, this is a guy who's gone out on a ledge.
Oh, yeah. 7.5 sacks last season.
Okay.
7.5. All right, hold. This is Clay Matthews' stats. If I can find his career stats. Okay. A 13. He has 213.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh, no. But 6-7, though, with it? Are you having 6-7? Like, you had two real good ones, and 7.5 and 6, it's not even consistent. So basically, when he's good, he's really good.
Yeah.
When he's good, he's really good. But when he's
and when Arakpo is good,
he's always
average.
He's
average by far.
So
he's a guy he's a guy who only has one pass rushing move.
Oh, let's talk.
He's a guy. You should if you play in the meat of your sacks. Meat. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. No, the majority of your sacks should be against your divisional opponents. Brian Arakpo cannot go throughout his career. There's only one team that Brian Arakpo has owned. You know who that team is? The Oakland Raiders.
Who cares? Everybody has a team they can go get busy on. D'Angelo Hall got.
If you get paid $11 million a year, you should dominate your conference. You should dominate the guys within your division. Jason Peters. Should dominate Tyron Smith.
For years, John Jansen used to get busy on Michael Strahan. So what's the deal? He used to get busy on Michael Strahan. Is Michael Strahan less of a pass rusher? Truth be told, there's only a couple people he struggles against. He struggles against. Okay, Arakpo struggles against Peters. That's the truth.
Tyron Smith?
Not really. Tyron Smith gets help. He gets chips.
All I'm saying is for $11 million, if you're going to get paid the average of the top five players at your position, you should truly be statistically one of the more dominant players.
Let me get to my point. Go ahead and have your story talking about that nasty stuff, early sacks and balls and stuff like that. Real quick. Yeah. So all I'm saying is that for Brian Arakpo, 10 sacks is not average, because if it was average, everybody can do it. Everybody can't get 10 sacks on a consistent basis. That's not average. Let's put that out there already. That's not average. You could say above average. You could say he's not great. You could say, but he's above average. I mean, that's just true. He's above average. That's factually stating. That's nothing near nor there about it. Ryan Kerrigan, who I like, isn't a guy who can get 10 sacks a season. He can't. He's not that guy. He can get you 8.5. He could probably get you a 10 sack season. I'm not saying he can't, but he won't average it. He won't be close to it on an average basis. And I like Ryan Kerrigan. And we all talk about limited moves. Ryan Kerrigan's moves are very limited as well.
I'm letting you talk.
All right. So second, and also the whole thing about his contract, you know, being not being worth it. This is it. It puts the onus on Brian Arakpo. There's no excuse. You know, to talk about how Mike Shanahan had wanted them to play more coverage and whatnot. That's all gone now. Now it's to a point that Brian Arakpo is going to be used a certain way that has been promised to him by Haslett and his staff, that he's going to be used a particular way for him to, be a dominant defender. It's a 1-year deal. In essence, it's a 1-year deal. if Brian Arakpo doesn't do what they think he should do, if he's not, I'm not talking about 10 sacks. I'm talking about if he's not dominating games on a consistent basis, then Brian Arakpo is gone. That's how it is. That's how I look at it. I look at this deal as it is what it is. It's a one-year deal. You got the opportunity to show folks what you can really do. Same thing that Joe Flacco did with the Ravens. He took the Ravens to the Super Bowl. He paid out. The Ravens screwed up, and now they have to pay him. They had to pay him. Brian Arakpo is the same situation. If you ball, the Redskins now have to up their offer to you. That $11 million is nothing. They got to go higher than $11 million. So it's on you. The Redskins, your situation, if you don't ball, we ain't signed you for 1 year. You can go. Skate. And that's just that. And that's how. And that's the contract to me. I like it because now there's no excuse. You got Haslett in place where he can run his defense. Arakpo, Kerrigan, 100%. They can now rush the pass and do what they do best. And let's see where everything goes at. And if the Arakpo doesn't pan out, goodbye. He's not going to be here. But if he does play the way I think he's going to play, and I think he's going to be a 13-sack guy, I think he's going to have an opportunity to go against the mismatches and do things that other defensive ends, outside linebackers can do in a 3-4, which, you know, you refer to Matthews. You know, Matthews doesn't go against, truth be told, if you, I'm sure you watch Green Bay games, Matthews doesn't just line up on one side. They rotate Matthews all around the board. So if a guy is dominating Matthews, he won't consistently dominate Matthews because Matthews will go to the other side so he can dominate the weaker of the competition. Arakpo, you do mention Arakpo being dominated by Peters, but Arakpo is going against Peters all the time. So usually on other defenses, for some of these marquee defenders, other than it's only a couple that really, in my opinion, that will go against that one left tackle on a consistent basis, Julius Peppers or somebody like that, they'll go head up against your best, and it is what it is, you know. But in Arakpo's situation, he'll be used a different way, and we'll see how he goes.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to see how it goes. Like I said, I understand why the Redskins paid him. I don't necessarily love it. To me, the guy, you know, he's been strong against the run. He's been better. I'm not going to say. He was better against the run.
He hasn't really been good against the run in prior years.
He proved that he can drop in pass coverage. But to me, if you go on the limb, and these are his words. When he was on NFL Network the previous summer, they said, rate the top 5 pass rushers in the NFL. He put himself in that category.
Yeah, I'm not mad at him. That's confidence. You have to be confidence. That way.
I understand that. And that's cool. But prove it on the field consistently.
10 sacks. 10 sacks this season.
That's 4.5 against Oakland Raiders. That's all I can say.
Hey, I've seen some games where other folks have had. Like, you know that the way that Michael Strahan got his big sacks, there was a couple games where he went hamming. I guess a bad defense.
Yeah,
team.
I understand.
So
that.
You do have games where you go ham on a bad team. You're going to have that game. You're going to have that.
I understand that. But when you say you're one of the elite pass rushers in the league, and against your divisional rivals, you don't put up.
But if you're going
I have a huge problem with
but
that.
But I have an issue. All right, but look, then break down the scenario of that game. If you're going to say a scenario of that situation, if you're going to state that, then
I'm talking throughout his career.
No. He's had games when he's gotten busy on against the NFC East. He had some Cowboys games when he got busy.
They are far.
Let's go from
few.
Last season. That's when people go. I've heard the same thing. They go off last season. If you're going to break it down for real, off last season, and look how some of these pass rushers have been used, and Brian Arakpo lines up and just line up straight ahead against, like, you know, the best of the best. Some of these guys don't get that opportunity. What they do is they rotate them. They say, okay, Brian, the way they use Brian Arakpo in the preseason is the way they should have used him in the regular season. They rotate. They roamed him. That's how they do with some of these other guys, i.e. Clay Matthews, who you referred to, i.e. some of these really good 3-4 rushing linebackers. They get an opportunity to go against the least of the least to pass pro against them, and they get busy against some of the worst pass pro offensive linemen. The defensive coordinators find a mismatch, and they target it.
I understand that, but just to me, there are a couple things that you have to take in consideration when you say you're one of the more elite pass rushers, and you're getting paid $11 million. You need to be a guy who's a sack fumble guy. To me, that's big. That's a playmaker. That's worth $11 million. That makes you worth $11 million to me. Two, you have to be a guy who has more than one pass rushing move.
I don't know if Brian Rapper gets held all the time. That shows me a lot. He gets held a lot. That tells me a lot about what he can do against a left tackle. I know for, you know, if you watch Redskin games and be objective of all you want, I mean objective, you know he gets held a lot. That tells me a lot.
I guess we'll agree to disagree when it comes to, like I said, I understand why you had to pay him $11 million. Do I think he's worth $11 million a season? No, absolutely not.
But it's only for 1 year, so I'm not even mad at it. But I understand what you're I understand what you're coming from.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We all can get along. Me and Will can argue and still be friends at the end of the day.
Exactly. It's not a indictment on how I feel about you or your thoughts and vice versa.
Yeah.
Also, Redskins, they re-signed Santana Moss.
I like
Mr. Redskin.
I like it, but I'm surprised. I'm very surprised.
Why? I'll tell you why surprised.
Go ahead.
To me, as he's gotten later in his career, the position where Santana Moss has excelled at most is in the slot. I think that with Jay Gruden, if we know anyone who's watched any of the Bengals games, you know that 60% of his 60% of the plays he calls is out of three wide receiver formation for sets. I think, you know, you have Pierre Garçon on one side. They brought in a guy like Andrew Roberts from the Arizona Cardinals.
Andre Roberts from the Arizona Cardinals. Mm-hmm.
And I think you'll see Santana Moss lined up in the slot. He'll be the slot guy. And, you know, it's actually a really good position for Santana because he's still relatively quick. And he's strong, and he's never afraid to go across the middle. So I think they signed him to a very cap-friendly contract for them.
Yeah, he can get cut.
Yeah.
He can't get cut. So it's a chance he can get cut.
Yeah, so I think it works for the Redskins. And plus, at that position, outside of Pierre Garçon, you need lots of competition. And I think Santana Moss is a guy who can provide a lot of competition for the Washington Redskins receiving corps.
Well, I hope that the Redskins are done with the, you know, signing wide receivers or drafting a wide receiver for this, you know, for their offense. Excuse me. Knowing now you have Santana, obviously Pierre Garçon, you have Leonard Hankerson, you have
Aldrick Robinson,
Andre Robinson.
Andre Roberts.
I'm sorry. Andre Roberts now signed. So who ran a 4.3 in college. So obviously he's fast. And he made plays for the Arizona Cardinals. So we'll see how that works. And that's a guy I think that feels a need to blow the top off the field.
Blow the top?
That sounds so bad. Oh, my God. I'm trying to use football analogies and I'm messing up. who can go deep? That sound
go
right
deep? Who can stretch the field?
Who can stretch the field? That's cool, right?
Yeah, that's cool.
All right, who can stretch the field? So I'm happy with that, but I hope they're not done. I think they still need a guy who could be a, in my opinion, maybe I'm greedy, who can be a, Pierre Garçon's a 1A, but somebody could be a 1B. Not a number 2, but a 1B.
Yeah, that's understandable. I guess a lot of people would think Jordan Reed could be a 1B, but he's a tight end.
He's a tight end. I mean, obviously.
And you never know how Jay Gruden wants to use him. He might line him up in the slot. He might want to, you know, line him up outside, motion him outside if he sees a susceptible matchup. So.
Yeah, it could be like, obviously, you know, Graham with the Saints, but Graham with the Saints is a different beast. So I don't know. I mean, Jordan was really, played very well with the Redskins last season before his injury. Looked like a Pro Bowl caliber tight end. But we'll see how it pans out in that regard. But I'm trying to visualize Santana Moss making this team, and I'm happy because he represents what you want in a football player.
I think Santana Moss has earned the right to end his career as a Redskin.
I totally agree. And I totally agree with you, too, that his value was in the slot. And he, to me, could be with the right quarterback. If RG3 takes his game to the next level, he can be a very dangerous individual in the slot. I'll say this. I'm surprised the dude didn't try to go somewhere like the Patriots. I think he would kill in the slot. Or the Denver Broncos, teams like that. Because with that kind of quarterback, with a Tom Brady or a Peyton Manning, he would thrive in that type of offense. Because I always think like a guy who used to play outside and play the outside wide receiver at a high level. And then now he's at the slot because he's an older wide receiver, mm-hmm. and he still has quicks. a wide receiver like that can thrive in the slot.
Yeah, and absolutely.
I always thought, like, I was thinking to myself, like, all right, if he leaves Washington, he goes to, like, the Broncos or the Patriots, that's a team that he can thrive in.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's keep moving on the Redskins signings for today. They signed a former Tampa Bay Buccaneers linebacker, Adam Hayward. You, like me, may say, who the heck is that?
Yes, that's a special teamer. They signed a special teamer.
That's all they did. They wanted to beef up the special teams. Oh, yeah. Anyone who watched enough Redskins football
one of the worst special teams in the history of football.
Yeah, and it was a very weak spot that actually cost them a game, the first game against the Cowboys.
That's true.
So,
And also, I didn't mention it. Redskins re-signed Perry Riley, which was a common sense move.
They also signed, I forgot the guy's name, a guard. From the Cleveland Browns,
Sean LaVau. Something. Let me spell it. That's better for me. LAUVAO.
Yeah. So the Redskins haven't made the big splash that people were hoping for in free agency, but they've acquired a couple of pieces as they try to put this roster together and move forward in the Jay Gruden regime.
And I had to do my research too, so I can make sure if this guy is actually good or not.
But also, for those of you that are curious, they have expressed interest in a couple of big name free agents, such as John Beeson, linebacker from the U. Darren Sproles, everyone knows the miniature running back who, if you have a guy like this on your roster, creates so many matchup problems, especially if you have a creative offensive staff.
Yeah.
And also one of the bigger name, he's the second biggest name quarterback now.
Yeah, exactly.
He probably was the first at the, you know, initially going into free agency, but Aqib Talib, cornerback from the New England Patriots. There, you know, there's a connection because, you know, obviously Bruce Allen was the GM who drafted him. Raheem Morris was the head coach. Raheem Morris is now on the Redskins staff, so there's a connection there. So people are speculating that Aqib Talib will possibly be that big splash free agent that the Redskins are signed this year.
Yeah, I don't know they're gonna get him. I think they're happy what they got right now.
If they were smart, they wouldn't get him.
I mean, I would get Talib. I would.
I'll say this just because of
what is the issues?
Yeah, with the Fred Davis and then also Tanard Jackson. You've had enough of that knucklehead mentality around here. It's clear as day that guys in their middle 20s struggle with off the field activities in the Washington D.C. area. An athlete,
it sure does.
So I don't know if you want a guy who has a checkered past, but I always believe in giving people second and third chances, though. So you never know how this one plays out. If he does sign with the Redskins, I would hope, and I know Bruce Allen will create a contract that's very friendly towards the Redskins.
Of course,
if they do.
If he files up, I think any organization will with him. To be honest with you, but I would love to have Talib. I would love to have Darren Sproles. John Beeson would be a good signing too, obviously to replace London Fletcher.
But I
want DeQuell Jackson.
Yeah, he's already signed with the.
He signed already?
Yeah, he already signed with the Denver.
The Denver Broncos.
No,
wasn't Denver Broncos?
No, the Indianapolis Colts.
DeQuell Jackson signed with the Colts?
Yeah, he signed with. I believe it was the Colts or the Broncos. I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
If I'm not, I'm not 100% sure.
I can't spell his name.
I do think it's Indianapolis. I could be mistaken. You know, I'm not 100. You know, I'm not right on everything.
Yeah, you're not right on everything. Who do you sign with? Steps. Who do Cole Jackson steps out? Colts.
Colts. Yeah, I was right.
You're right. There you go. Right. Full comp. There you go.
More than 85%, baby.
Ray Jeezy, he coming for your number, man.
But anyway, let's transition from talking about the number two cornerback to the number one cornerback. That's going to be on that. If he is, I think he will be released by Wednesday. Darrell Revis, he'll be released from his contract, which essentially was 1 year, which, you know, he got paid last year, 1 year, $16 million.
Uh-huh.
Lovie Smith took over.
Cause he played the cover two.
A lot of people speculated, you know, that Revis would be gone. I always said, why would you want to get rid of talent? But I understand if you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you're a team that's not contending
uh-huh.
for a Super Bowl. So to pay a cornerback, even though a corner is probably one of the four most important positions in the NFL now, especially the way the game is being played with it being such a passing league. Why pay him $16 million if you got a coach that likes to play a zone, a lot of zone coverage? So what do you think? Do you think he should be targeted by the Washington football team, the Redskins?
I would hope so, but he won't because he costs too much. He's related to Sean Gilbert.
Absolutely. That's a lot of people, and that's key. And for people who aren't familiar, Sean Gilbert was once a man who sat out a whole year when he was designated with the franchise tag by the Washington Redskins. Sean Gilbert is a guy who is about his money. And as we've seen, he has transferred that mentality to his little nephew. Because anyone who knows Darrell Revis knows that he's about his money. Yeah, he wants to be paid. You know, I'm sure there'll be opportunities for him to go to a Super Bowl contender, i.e. New England Patriots, the San Francisco 49ers. I'm trying to think of another team that's in need of. The Colts, they signed back Vontae
Davis. They sure did.
Possibly, I can't think of another. Possibly maybe the Eagles, you know.
Supposed to get Revis?
Yeah.
Are the Patriots interested? Maybe interested. The Patriots may be interested.
Yeah, Patriots. The Patriots and the Eagles.
The Eagles, the 49ers.
I think ultimately the best fit for him is probably the 49ers.
49ers are interested.
But I don't think he's not. If he still thinks he's going to get $16 million a year, that's not happening.
That's not happening.
I think fair would be 10, maybe 11.
Yeah.
If I were the Eagles, I'd be kind of – well, I guess you can't be skeptical because of the Nnamdi Asomugha thing. I guess this is two totally different situations because the Eagles would be signing him to play a lot of press coverage because that's what the coverage they like to play. Maybe. Nnamdi Asomugha, even though he was a press corner, they
He
was pressed in Oakland, but when he came to Philadelphia, they played a lot of zone.
Yeah, that's what messed them all up.
And it seemed like he lost a step overnight.
Yeah, it's called Kerry Washington.
That might be it.
It's called Kerry Washington. I put a question out there on Facebook saying, should the Redskins go after Revis Island? My man Rob Anthony said two teams were willing to say goodbye, so why think about it? Go ahead.
Well, I'll say this. Jets didn't necessarily want to say goodbye. Revis made them say goodbye because they weren't going to pay him what he wanted to. Now, I could still see a scenario where Rex Ryan goes in and says, look,
I want
him back.
They got rid of Cromartie,
so they have the money where he says, I want him back. And we already know, just from seeing last year, that defense is very good.
It can play. Put some pieces around it. Yeah. Secondary, it can really play.
It's very good. And, you know, they have two young corners in Kyle Wilson and also D. Milner. Their number one pick from last year. So you add Revis to that mixture, that takes that defense over the top.
Yeah, and my man Jordan Avery said Redskins fans need to learn to build through the draft, not free agency. We had this debate.
Listen, buddy, we're talking about free agency. It's here. We can worry about the draft in May. We're talking about free agency.
Yeah, that's
now.
True. And my man, and Jordan, you got to understand too. When you, this is a whole little thing that folks think that you can't sign a big price free agency. A big price free agent. And that's going to make your team – like, you sign a big-price free agent, you're trying to buy something. You build your team in the draft, and you complement that within free agency. All right? So you do sign players, and you can't sign big-market players.
Absolutely.
If it's a true need.
I.e., look at the previous Super Bowl champion, Seattle Seahawks. They signed Cliff Avril, and they signed Michael Bennett.
Yeah.
But we've seen that they drafted Earl Thomas.
Exactly.
Richard Sherman.
Exactly.
Russell Wilson.
Yeah, so you do build your team from the draft. You just don't OD. You don't OD in free agency, but you just use some complimentary pieces to try to fill out your roster.
If you look at it traditionally, the bad teams have been the teams that try to build their team through free agency.
Yeah, and that's what the Redskins have done.
Yeah,
that's the truth.
The solid, like the Pittsburgh Steelers, Seattle Seahawks, the 49ers, the Indianapolis Colts. These are teams that have built. New England Patriots have built through the draft.
My man Thomas Curl, it's a two-part. He says, "I'm just thinking about his contract. If he could still play, he's 28. That'd be good." Also, Thomas Curl said, "I hope they get Mike Mitchell out of Carolina. Add Revis would show up the secondary. Skins have a lot of holes, though."
Yeah, they do have a lot of holes, but I'll tell you exactly why they won't be able to get those two guys.
Well, I think
11 million to a Brian Rockbo. That's why.
No, they can get Mitchell.
They can get Mitchell. They can't get Revis. They can't get both of them.
Mitchell's cheap. He'd be fairly cheap. Yeah. Revis. They're not gonna. I'll just be real. All right, I'll be honest. I just put it out there. Just you know, because it's Revis. Let's be real. It's Revis, and the Redskins they need a cornerback. They need a secondary. So I just put it out there. But there's no way they're getting Revis. They can't afford a Revis. They just really can't.
No, they can't. Not unless they get some really creative accounting.
Yeah, I know. All right. Champ Bailey was released by the Denver Broncos. I'm going to use another cornerback. Should the Redskins entertain bringing back Champ now? Champ is cheap.
You'll get Champ relatively on the cheap. And from my understanding, Champ Bailey didn't necessarily want to leave Washington.
Okay. I heard he badmouthed this too.
Yeah,
I've heard that.
Yeah, but from my understanding, okay, he didn't necessarily want to leave Washington. I just think at this point, paying a 35, especially a team that's in this position, I don't think it's any good with bringing in Champ Bailey, because you have a young corner in David Amerson who needs to get that time and needs to develop. You'll probably draft or bring in another undrafted free agent. These are guys who, if you bring in Champ, yeah, he'll be able to teach them something.
Which is very important.
Which is important in being
a pro. He was taught by Daryl.
Yeah, but also you don't want to take away the reps from those young guys.
That's true.
So, Champ Bailey, he probably deserves or needs to go to a team that's more contending for a championship.
Well, what they could do, and D-Hall has done it anyway, is put D-Hall in the slot, have Amerson. Obviously, Amerson can still play. He'll play outside, and Champ can play other outside. That's why he's still being taught by two people. Same thing happened with Champ. Daryl and Deion was, on the team, and, they taught him.
Yeah.
So it can work, but I know what your point is. You kind of want Amerson, especially since Amerson starting from behind. He's not on the caliber of Champ Bailey. When Champ Bailey came out of Georgia, he was the truth. Supposedly, he was supposed to be the truth. Amerson, we're talking about a second, third round type of talent.
And he showed flashes last year. You want to
build on that.
Yeah, you want to build on that and just give him the consistency to build his confidence up.
All right, other than the players I've mentioned, what positions or players should the Redskins be targeting?
Offensive line.
Okay.
Within those tackles, within the tackle position.
So you think she get another right? She get another tackle? Right tackle?
Yeah, another tackle. Possibly.
You think they can handle that in the draft? It's a deep tackle draft.
It's very deep. But I still think you might can bring it. It would help the maturation of RG3 if he had another solid veteran tackle to go along with Trent Williams.
I got you. Well, it's about time for another commercial break. I could go into this, but we're running over time. So when we get back from break, we're running over time. When we get back from break, we'll be discussing some other NFL free agents and news anyway. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Morning, it's me, Magic Johnson here. I won 5 NBA championships and Olympic gold medal. So I'm calling the shots today. Get up out of bed, into school, try hard, do well. School got me to where I am today. So be there every single day and, of course, give it your best shot.
Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so.
Sometimes I wake up, feel like I'm in Forest City, Arkansas. Although I'm free, I'm still a prisoner of all I saw. Sometimes I lead it, booth at 4 a.m. and ride down Simpson. Just praying, homie.
It's my man, Ray Jeezy. Big T.I. fan back in the day. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. This is the show, Ray. This is for you, man. You know what I'm saying? Urban Sports Team, man. Original. But I just. You're dead.
Anyway, let's get back to more NFL free agency talk. New releases and, just thoughts. Adrian Peterson last week came out and made a statement that he thinks that if Michael Vick were to join the team, that will instantly make them a better team and possibly a playoff team. Obviously, the Vikings didn't listen to him because they re-signed Matt Castle.
I know.
For a 2-year deal.
But is he going to be the starter, though?
I don't know. But what you think about, there's been a lot of talk of them possibly adding a quarterback in the draft. So, you know, it makes sense. You sign Matt Castle, keep him around for a year or two. You bring a guy.
It's going to happen with Christian Ponder.
Christian Ponder is gone.
Yeah, who's he?
Yeah, who?
And who's Christian Ponder? This is my question. This is my thing to it. Your franchise player who's carried your team. He's carried your team. He's your franchise. He's your everything player, to be honest with you. You ain't listening. Your franchise player? Your franchise player says, I want Michael Vick. Basically, that's what he said. I want Michael Vick.
That's why his initials are AP and not GM.
Yeah, exactly.
they didn't listen to him when it comes to the player personnel.
Obviously. You know what I mean? You don't buy these groceries, boy.
Nah, you don't at all. I think, you know, depending on which direction they – because obviously you know Michael Vick still wants to be a starter.
Mm-hmm.
To me, you can't tell me there are 32 teams in the NFL and there are 32 like quarterbacks better than him.
Yeah, I feel like he's being blackballed.
I'm not going to say he's being blackballed. Obviously –
you don't think so?
I think Nick Foles, he went in. No.
Nick Foles won the position.
Yeah, he won that position.
But for folks to say that he can't get a starting job, I feel like he's being blackballed.
Yeah.
Because you hear that whatever, talk.
Well, you know, people are going to point to the reason he can't survive for 16 games. He doesn't make quick releases. And, you know, he holds the ball. They'll come up with a litany of reasons why he shouldn't be a starter. But obviously we've seen his play on the field. If he still has anything left in the tank, he should get the opportunity to start. You know, I'm not going to say the Jets because the Jets, that kind of puts you in a awkward position. You just drafted Geno Smith. You allow him to be the starter for the whole season. If you bring in Mike, if you go out and say, okay, we're going to make this an open quarterback competition.
You can't bring the Jets.
That, hey, we think we made a mistake with Geno Smith.
Yeah, you can't do that to him.
So you can't bring him to the Jets. The Texans, I think, would have been, but I just think
Texans aren't a bad one either.
Yeah, but with Bill Bradley, he doesn't seem like the guy who wants a short quarterback.
I hear you.
He wants that traditional drop back passer.
Yeah, he had Brady.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had Brady. And even the quarterback in Penn State.
Yeah, I would have said Jacksonville, but they just re-signed Chad Henne not too long ago.
That don't mean
free agent started.
That don't mean nothing.
Well, I mean, you're gonna bring in Chad Henne, and then you're going to draft someone, presumably, in the first round.
That's true.
So I don't think that'll work there. Possibly Oakland, because we all know that Terrell Pryor doesn't seem like he's the guy.
Yeah, he's not the guy. But Michael Vick going there kind of fits the silver black. Kind of fits a little bit.
Yeah.
Think about it. But you hear that, you know, the Raiders are targeting Johnny Football in the draft. So that's another thing.
Yeah, that you'll have two guys that have a history.
Yeah, you don't want
Johnny Manziel's already small.
Yeah, he's already small. So.
Yeah, so but they play similar, so you wouldn't have to do a lot of things schematically from an offensive standpoint. Definitely, depending on, you know,
ideally you want
in the game.
Ideally, you want a veteran in that situation to teach Johnny Football something. So if it's Johnny Football going to Oakland and Michael Vick's there, you would have Michael Vick start, you know, the beginning, and if something happens, you know, if he's not playing well, the team's losing, you put in Johnny Football.
Yeah,
I don't know if Johnny Football is the kind of guy you want to start 24/7, though.
As we get closer to the draft, that'll be an interesting conversation about where we think Johnny Football should go in the draft. The Bucks, they added a big free agent name in Michael Johnson, defensive end from the Cincinnati Bengals. I guess that's what part of that $16 million salary that they're dumping off of Revis is going to Michael Johnson. To me, he seems like the type of guy that Lovie Smith wants, a long, athletic pass rusher, has a high motor off the end for that cover two defense.
Peppers-like.
Yeah, a guy who can get up the field. So, pretty good signing. I believe, what was it reported as, like a six-year?
It was a nice size deal. Yeah, I don't have the number.
I think it was like 40 or 50 million plus with like 20-some-odd of it guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
So, pretty good signing for Tampa Bay.
And real quick, the Cowboys. I had to discuss this. The Cowboys, they cut their Lawrence Taylor, DeMarcus Ware. I mean, that was surprising to me. When I saw it, first he gave him the ultimatum that, you know, make a decision before 4 o'clock. And then obviously they made their decision.
And Jerry was like, I think ultimately it came down to, he put an ultimatum to Jerry Jones.
And
Jerry Jones was right. He doesn't seem to me is the type of guy that you give an ultimatum to, especially in a business situation.
You don't do that to Jerry. Not the Jerry world.
Not Jerry.
Oh, wow. Real quick, the Redskins, you lost out of my man, Mike Mitchell. He's now a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Mike solid pick for the Steelers. Yeah, it is. Steelers needed some secondary help. So
yeah, but go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah,
as a Redskins fan, I know you're obviously devastated.
Yeah, he's 26 years old. He's 26 years old, and he could have helped the secondary. So now it's like a whole different move.
Yeah. Have so make. Now you know, but you know what that means for a player on the Steelers. That means for Ryan Clark, they're not bringing him back.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he's Mike Mitchell.
Old.
Yeah,
Ryan Clark. Too old.
Yeah, but Ryan Clark seems as if he's found his second career on ESPN. Yeah. So you know, maybe he decides that. All right, I'm done with football, but I still think Ryan Clark has a year or two left. Yeah, he's a guy who the Redskins should have never let go in the first
true.
Place.
That's so true. That is so true. Maybe they can go back. Maybe. Oh, he's old, though. Maybe they can try to re-sign him on a cheap deal. They want to do something.
It'd be a backup safety. You never know.
A backup?
Yeah,
on this backup. Team? He could be a starter on our team. Backup. You make something. We have gold everywhere. He could be a starter.
Yeah, I mean, you have young safeties in Bakari Rambo, and then you have
Philip Thomas. I like Philip Thomas. Thomas. Well, Bakari Rambo's already showing himself. Unfortunately. I like his name. But he's showing himself.
All right, but back to DeMarcus Ware.
Yeah, go back.
What do you think his market value is?
I think it's low. I mean, it's not low. It's not real low, but it's not high. It's not as high as it would have been like 3 years ago. That his neck injury is serious to me. He gets those stingers too frequently, and in the last couple of seasons he's had to cut his season off real quick. And you know, when you hear about his neck stingers, he gets paralyzed from a particular. He loses feeling.
Well, often. Yeah. Well, let me say this though. What about if you put him in the right situation where he's a situational pass rusher, kind of like what Michael Bennett was this past season.
Yeah,
anyone who knows the stats for Michael Bennett, he had 8.5 sacks, but he only played in 57% of the Seattle Seahawks snaps.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get a team with a deep, you know, I don't know if he still prefers to play in a 3-4. He's best at a 3-4 outside linebacker.
Best at
3-4. So, you know, if you get him in a situation where he's kind of rotating and, you know, on the third down or the passing downs or when they're in a nickel package,
mm-hmm.
He could possibly be a very effective player for the right price, you know, $4 or $5 million a year.
But it goes back to your statement earlier. I mean, what is that worth, though? Is that worth high-end pass rushing money?
No.
In your situation, I mean, how many million can he get a year?
Possibly $4 or $5 million at this point, just because of the net concerns.
Wow, I think he can get more than that. I think
you
get more
think
than five.
So?
Yeah, Brian Arapa can get 10. I mean, don't get me wrong. He can get 10. It's 11, actually. 11. And that's because he's being franchised. DeMarcus can at least get you 7 to 8. Because he's hurt.
$1 million?
I think so.
No, I think that injury.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm being naive about it.
Well, you got to take in consideration his age.
Mm-hmm. How old is DeMarcus Ware now? He's probably like early 30s.
He's probably like, I think like 32.
33-ish.
Yeah, I think he's like 32. So I think, you know, he'll probably get about $5 million per year for the next 2 years.
Him and Tony Romo are close enough. About maybe 2 years difference. And Tony Romo being older.
Yeah.
But go ahead. My bad.
But no, I absolutely think, you know, he goes to the right situation. Possibly like a team like the Colts. You know, a 3-4 team that needs an outside pass rusher. Put him on the other side of Robert Mathis. Let those two guys go at it. Get towards the quarterback for
the
right
price.
That's
not a bad pick.
Yeah.
You just thought of that?
Thought about it.
For real?
Yeah.
That's not bad. That's not a bad
man,
one at
I
all.
Sat back and I analyzed these things, man.
That's not, I got to get credit with Chris. That's not bad at all.
Yeah. Usually, I think, you know.
I ain't come up with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I ain't come up with it. That's something I should have came up with.
No, I think, you know, Robert Mathis put him beside Robert Mathis and
like
Chuck Pagano's defense. Yeah.
What?
Let him go at it.
Why not San Diego?
San Diego, I still think they have Dwight Freeney on I think he signed a 2-year deal with them, if
who's,
I'm not
who's
mistaken.
Who's the opposite side?
Ingram, if I'm not mistaken.
Because
Ingram
Manti
went down.
I think Manti played outside.
Manti plays inside.
No, he played outside.
Oh, he does?
They changed him. They play outside.
Oh, so?
Last time I checked, he was outside. They moved him to play outside back.
No, but there are definitely options for him. It just depends on
what he thinks his value is
and what, you know, how much he wants to get paid. So that's why I said realistically, like $5 million.
What's the going rate on a good pass rusher?
On an elite pass rusher? I don't think
he's not. Can't call him elite.
And I think if you're gonna go, all right, the franchise for an outside linebacker is $11 million.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You discount the guy's age,
mm-hmm.
then you discount his injuries.
Yeah.
I think possibly. $5 million, maybe $6 million is fair for him.
Okay.
I think $5-6 million is fair for him. It just depends on will a team be willing to pay for that. Also, you know, you think about it, the later you go on free agency, the less money that's available for you. So unless DeMarcus Ware signs within the end of this first week, you know, the dollars are going to dry up.
We'll see. Cause that's interesting. That's interesting. His situation is totally interesting to me because I feel like he's still a decent pass rusher. They haven't listed inside linebacker. I just swore I saw him in game most games he was playing outside. But anyway, so you have the what team did you mention? The Colts.
The Colts. I think the Colts will be an ideal fit for him.
If I was him, I would have a grudge. I would try to sign one of the NFC East team. If I was him.
Well, I mean,
but there's no team on the NFC East.
Redskins.
They wouldn't sign him. But after
Eagles, I don't think the Eagles will sign him as a pass rusher. Because they have both Trent Cole and Brandon Graham.
The Colts is a good one because that's actually going to come up. The Colts are a really good team.
The Colts, or he could go to possibly Green Bay. You know, Green Bay, they need an outside pass rusher. Yeah.
Patriots.
Yeah, if he wants to play in the 4-3, because I think now Belichick has gone back to a 4-3. So, you know, or, you know, maybe Cleveland. Cleveland has a lot of money.
And they're doing some things. Speaking of Cleveland, the Browns added Carlos Dansby and Dante Whitner.
Dante Hittner.
Hittner. Are you a fan of the moves, man?
Not necessarily. I think this is just more of that front office saying, we're going to make a splash.
Especially because they haven't fixed their offense.
Yeah, they haven't fixed that offense. But, you know, they have Kyle Shanahan, who's the boy genius, as the offensive coordinator. So, you know, we know Kyle will fix that very quickly.
Kyle a beast, man. Why are we hitting on Kyle? Kyle is a beast.
You sign Carlos Dansby, even though he's getting up in there in age, he still has the production that you're looking for. Dante Whitner is, you know, one of those guys who makes a lot of big hits. Isn't necessarily a cover safety, but he's an intimidator. So I guess, you know, just realistically, because this is a team that has a lot of holes that need to be filled.
Shut up. Yeah, my very white voice. Go ahead.
I like, if I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, I like it because it gives me hope that people still will want a free agent, still think this is a viable organization to come to.
Yeah, because Jim Brown's there. Chilling.
Yeah. You know, that even though they had, you know, all of the upheaval in the front office and then the search for a coach, and then it came out that they were willing to trade for Jim Harbaugh. So, you know, if I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, I'm optimistic. But realistically, this is still a team with a lot of deficiencies that need to be covered. And, you know, giving these two guys big money doesn't necessarily – it helps it a little bit. But even in the grand scheme of things, if you think about it, their defense wasn't that – it wasn't terrible.
The defense was good last season.
Defense was pretty good last year.
To me, they downgraded because DeQuell Jackson to me is better than Dansby. That's just my opinion. I think DeQuell Jackson is better than Dansby. Dante Whitner, that's when they actually helped out the secondary even more. T.J. Ward was good, don't get me wrong. But Dante Whitner to me is a beast. I mean, he's a beast. And he's an intimidator. T.J. Ward is a playmaker, but Dante Whitner is a playmaker and he's an intimidator. Which I don't care today. In any realm of football, you need that. I don't care how many 15-yard penalties are out there. You need to be in. If you're an intimidator, you already got the leg up. So, I like the sign. How does losing Whitner affect the 49ers?
Realistically, I think it doesn't affect them all that much. This team has shown the
ability.
They
signed already, right?
Yeah, they already signed Antoine Bethea from former Howard University graduate.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously they feel as if they found a replacement for Dante Whitner. This is a team that's shown that they can go in the draft and pick the type of guy who is right for their team and their system. So if I was a 49er fan, I wouldn't be concerned at all.
Anyway, it's time for another commercial break. When we get back, we'll be talking about March Madness, in terms of Georgetown and the Terps. Do they need to win out? And basically, I mean, win their conference tournament to make the NCAA March Madness big
game. My answer is real short, but yeah, we can talk about it when we come back.
It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
I'm Peyton Manning. On the football field, I always had to prepare for the unexpected. My teammates and I train to think fast and be ready ahead of the game. You can be ready with the help of your local American Red Cross. The American Red Cross can help all of us prepare for life's emergencies. Take life-saving CPR or first aid courses. Make an emergency plan or learn how to build a disaster supplies kit. Contact the American Red Cross today.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Well, you can tell everybody, yeah, you can tell everybody, go ahead and tell everybody, I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man, yes I am, yes I am, yes I am. I'm the man.
Yeah. Well, we're about back from commercial break. I can't get my wits together, man. You can tell it's been a long show. it's the Urban Sports Team. If you feel like calling, giving us your feedback, the number is 202-495-0904. It's time to talk about the Georgetown Hoyas and the Maryland Terps. It's tournament time. It's March. That means pools are out there. But before we get to the pools, there's a conference tournament. Maryland, Georgetown. They're in the conference tournament. Georgetown's playing tomorrow night against DePaul. I'm not sure who Maryland. I think Maryland's playing against. I want to say Florida State. Florida State. Both teams have played tough teams pretty fairly, pretty tough. Georgetown had a couple wins. I think Maryland beat Virginia not too long ago, like the last game of the season for them.
Yeah, on Saturday.
Exactly.
Sunday. Excuse me.
Oh, it's a phone call. I got a phone call. Excuse me. Urban Sports Team phone call. Let's take this call.
Hello?
Hello?
Caller, you're on.
Hello?
Hello, caller, you're here with the Urban Sports Team?
Yes, my name is Glenn. I am your counselor calling with Student Debt Solutions.
Oh, so excuse me, wrong one. They're trying to get me. It's somebody else. The caller's trying to get me. Oh no, sonny. Don't be trying to get me for my notes. Don't be trying to get me. Hey, I didn't pay my student loan, so watch out.
Yeah, that's the next bubble. That's the next bubble that's gonna drive this economy in a recession. Real talk. Yeah. Student loans.
They're trying to get you.
But anyway,
how dare you call me around this time? It's ain't 9 o'clock yet. It ain't 3 hours yet.
But anyway, I actually had a question for you about NCAA tournament.
Go ahead.
To me, it just seems we all know that the Super Bowl is the biggest sporting event in America.
Yes, indeed.
Do you think it would be fair to say that the NCAA tournament is the second biggest sports event?
I agree with you. I mean, folks take off like to watch the tournament.
I know. Some people take that first Thursday and Friday off.
I know. It's ridiculous. I think it's ludicrous.
You know anyone like that?
Yeah, this person right here on the mic.
Tell them how many years your streak has been
going. Oh, man, this streak is crazy. Kyle Ripken had a streak of how many games? It rivals it.
It rivals it.
In college, I would happily skip classes for it. It was that serious. And the trend continues.
Yes.
You know, I tried to, and actually, truth be told, stay at work and concentrate. You know, obviously, you know, that you can watch things online back then. You can follow it with a tracker, and you may not see the video, but you can see some of the stuff all online. And I remember CBS had something special, like you can watch the game online, but if it was in your area, you get blacked out online.
Yeah, I remember.
As soon as that happened, I lost my mind. I was like, I'm not staying here anymore. We had a TV in the room. In our suite in my office, had a TV. I put on the TV and I sat there. It was lunchtime. Sat there. Lunchtime became 1 hour, became 2 hours. I said, scrap this. Take a leave. I'm going home.
I don't blame you because it is one of the least. That Thursday and Friday are two of the most least productive days.
It's not at all. It's not.
You know, people sit at their computer and act like they're doing work, but in reality, you have the game going on in the background. You're either watching it or you're listening to it.
And then you go on lunch break to go to the bar so you can watch it. Yeah. You want to see it. And then that takes about a good couple of hours. You lose track of the time. So you're out there eating wings, watching the game, chilling. And you're like, oh, snap. I'm supposed to be back in the office. Oh, well, nah, I'm still watching this game. The last second shot's about to go on. Here you go.
Yeah, but yeah, it's you know, the first, that opening Thursday and Friday is one of the most exciting times in sports. But anyway, let's get back to Georgetown and Maryland.
I can't believe this dude tried to call my phone, trying to catch me. Can't believe it. That was
excuse
weird.
Excuse me. I do think that Georgetown and Maryland, they both have to win their conference tournaments to win out to get in. Georgetown, we were just talking about it before we came back on air.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought if Georgetown had beaten Villanova, I think that would have been enough for them to have gotten at least a play-in game to get in. Because you think about it, they would have beaten Creighton, Michigan State, and Villanova. And I think no matter what they would have done in the Big East tournament, they would have still been at least, they would have played in one of the play-in games on Tuesday and Wednesday if they had have beaten Villanova. But they didn't, so Georgetown, like Maryland, is going to have to win out in their conference tournament in order to get into the dance.
They both need to win out. The blessing about the Hoyas, and even for the Hoyas situation compared to Maryland, I was talking to a coworker of mine, is that Georgetown is in the easier of the two divisions. So Georgetown has an opportunity because who they had to play against. Obviously, Nova beat them twice. It's going to be a tough team regardless.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Creighton. Creighton's the second best team in the conference. You look at Maryland, the ACC, due to the fact of you know, Syracuse moving, jumping ship over there, and some of the other, you got Carolina, you got Duke,
Pittsburgh.
It's going to be tough. Yeah. It is. It's going to be
Virginia.
Tough. Virginia. I'm sorry. How can I forget Virginia? It's going to be tough.
If they can
pull some strong W's, and maybe their resume will look good, but it's going to be hard.
Speaking about tough W's, this next thing we're going to talk about didn't have a lot of tough W's this year, but ended up going undefeated. That's Wichita State.
Yes, the Shockers.
Do you respect their perfect record?
I mean, it's hard to go perfect. You know, I got a team right now. We undefeated right now. We 8-0, and talking about my 11-under team.
Okay.
And it's not easy. You know, it's not easy. You got to play every game. You got to be up for it. There are teams out there that want to beat you. They want to knock you off. And it's complicated. You know, I've been undefeated a couple of times in my illustrious career as a coach. and 1 year I didn't win anything. We got undefeated. We lost in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I was coaching by me and my brother. We screwed the money up on that one. but you know, it's to be that focused. And honestly, all jokes aside, to be that focused and go 34-0, it's an accomplishment, and it's real because you're going undefeated. And anytime you're playing conference games, because they are going to play their conference, and even though their conference is weak, they know you better than anybody. And to go in there and beat a team and go in a hostile environment, knowing that you're like basically you're the one seed. Like, if we're going to really compare it, you're the overall one seed in that environment, all right? You're the team. You're like the Duke, you know what I mean? And you're going on the road, and you're still perfect. That still shows to me that you're focused. Now, will this team be good enough to win a championship? I don't think that obviously their conference didn't prepare them for a championship run. But what prepares them for a championship run is what they did last season.
I was going to actually piggyback off of that. To your point, you know, I respect their 34-0 record. What makes that even more impressive is everyone knew about this Wichita State team coming into this year because of their run last year to the Final Four. So having that momentum from last year, what they did, going into this year being 34-0, I think this is a team I think it's fair to say that will be back in the Final Four again this year.
I think that's big. It's impossible.
I'm putting it down on my bracket, depending on who they have in.
We'll see how it is. I'll see how my bracket plans out. I want to see how they, because I feel like the NCAA will screw them and put them in a very tough bracket. That's what they do with teams. To me, they're mid-major teams that are have a chance to be a one seed or a one seed. They put them in a bracket that's loaded. So
it'll be interesting but you know, just if you had to take. Ask me against them versus the field. I would put them in the Final Four versus the field, not knowing how the brackets are stacked.
I'm watching. But real quick, I phrased the same question on Facebook too. You basically respect does Wichita State deserve respect, and are they legit to you, my man? Ron, Big Ron, said 34-0 is enough respect. They don't have to prove anything. Top schools were scared to play them, Kansas being one of them. Damn, Ron, you be going on. Ron, you stay hating on Kansas. And that should be your squad, man. My man Raymond Sneed said, nope, have to prove it again. My man Aaron Jones said, yep, made the Final Four last year as a 9 seed, picking up where they left off. So, yeah, everybody has about – pretty much other than my man Raymond agrees with him. Had one more. Let me read one more. My man Ricky Williams says, I'm on the fence. You can only beat who's on your schedule, but why not have some competitive non-conference games since your conference is so weak? It goes back to what Ron said. Teams are scared to play.
No one wanted to play.
Exactly. Teams are scared to play. But they're a strong team. I watched them play. And the thing about it is they blow out their sorry conference. That shows
dominance to me.
Yeah, that shows dominance.
That shows me you don't. You take everyone serious, and you really want to show that you're the best, and you're willing to put your foot on someone else's throat.
And other than maybe a little stint within the championship game for them, I think they dominate the competition like no other. So to me, they're ready.
Yeah. Speaking of Wichita State and them being ready, let's talk about two freshmen that have clearly shown
over
the past
weekend. One of their brothers plays for Wichita. Wiggins' brother plays for Wichita State. But go ahead.
We're talking about the two freshman phenoms, Andre Wiggins and Jabari Parker. Andre Wiggins dropped 41 against West Virginia. They didn't have Joel Embiid.
And they lost.
But it was in a loss.
Yeah.
Jabari Parker dropped 30 and 11 against UNC in a win. Who's the better pro prospect, just realistically?
Looking
at the body of work.
All right, I watched. I know Jabari Parker is ACC Player of the Year. He got ACC Player of the Year.
No, he didn't.
He didn't get it?
Mm-mm.
Who got ACC Player of the Year? I thought he said he got it.
No, the guy from
Virginia,
if I'm not mistaken.
I thought it was Jabari Parker.
Now, Jabari Parker, I'm without a doubt, got ACC Freshman of the Year.
Oh, maybe it's Freshman of the Year. Maybe I read it wrong.
But I don't.
I know what the dude from I want to say Iowa State. It's not Iowa State, is it? I know. What's name to get big 12 Player of the Year?
Who?
Wiggins didn't get big 12 Player of the Year,
and he didn't deserve it.
He didn't deserve it at all. But go ahead. Go ahead. Tell you.
But no. Just looking at all right, watching the game Andre Wiggins against him versus West Virginia, that let me know that. He can do this when he's mentally ready, but when he's mentally focused. But just to me, just looking at his body language and looking at a lot of his games.
His skill set?
Yeah. He doesn't have the mentality to be like, I want to be the best. I want to dominate.
Let me tell you something for real.
What?
I watched that West Virginia game, and he had stints when he looked good. I mean, really. But he had stints when you really watch him play, he's sloppy. He's very sloppy. His ball handling is sloppy. When he goes to the basket, he doesn't finish all the time. He actually goes the wrong way when he has somebody beat. So what I mean by that is he'll have somebody beat on the right side, but he'll try to go back left. He's that kind of player. Also, in that game against W, he got a lot of calls. He got a lot of LeBron-ish calls in college. Like, so to me, he had 41. Don't get wrong, but it was a health 41.
It wasn't a dominant.
It wasn't
41.
It was because you lost, so you didn't really. In college, you would think you score 41 points in a college game, especially against an inferior team like West Virginia. You would think, he dominated and they got the win. Even they lost Embiid? Yeah, Embiid.
Joel Embiid.
Yeah, even they lost Embiid, and he wasn't playing. Against that team, that West Virginia team, which was that team was game. Don't get me wrong, they were game. They were ready to play. But that 41 was impressive. But I watched it. I was like, he was getting a lot of calls to get that 41. But he showed a lot. Step back threes. Like, he really wanted – he put the team on his back. So I'm not going to downplay his performance. He put his team on the back. But I'm going to go with Jabari Parker, though. You're going against your rivals. 31-11. Carolina Duke. They don't get any bigger than that in college basketball. Come on now.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Realistically, just looking at the landscape of the NBA, you put Jabari Parker on a team like the, let's say, Milwaukee Bucks. He's a 28-5 guy right now. That's 20 points, 8 mm-hmm. rebounds, 5 assists guy right now if you put him on the Milwaukee Bucks. He, he'll easily score 20 points a game. Depending on what team, if he's on the 76ers, if he's on the Milwaukee Bucks, I don't think he'll get 20 if he plays in Utah. But But there are certain teams that he can easily go in and score 20 points now. Andre Wiggins, he still has a lot of nuances to learn about the game. Not to say he's explosive as hell.
Oh yeah,
as we've seen his jumping ability. If you see the
you see that steal he had, that finish he had on the steal, like when just playing the inbound.
Yeah, just with his pure athleticism, you know, if you see the amount of height he gets on his jump shot, on that release of his jump shot, it's amazing. But right now, the best pro is Jabari Parker. If I'm a GM and you had to put a gun to my head and say you got to pick one now, it's life or death. Your
life
job is death. On the line.
Should life or death, though?
Yeah, Jabari Parker. I'm
life
taking
death,
Jabari
though?
Parker
life
right
death,
now.
Life or death, though?
Yeah.
Like, really, though? Life or death?
Yeah, life or death.
Like,
man.
I put a gun to your head. Jabari Parker. I'm going to take
over Andrew Wiggins right now.
Would I take Andrew Wiggins over the Parker? It's. I mean, I'm going wrong. He impressed me. All right. He impressed me. I put the same question. How many minutes we got left? About 15 minutes left, basically, on the show. Same question. Facebook. My man Troy said, I agree. I mean, excuse me. He said, while scouts will continue to drool over Wiggins' athleticism and the dreaded word potential, Parker exhibits the game of a mellow and the basketball IQ and humbleness of a Grant Hill. That's a deadly combo that I bet my future on if I was an NBA GM. Excuse me. My man Keith said, right now, Parker, but in the NBA, you also have to fall in the right situation to grow and blossom as a player. I agree with that statement cold-heartedly, bro. The right situation to be a star.
Absolutely. Because, you know, there are guys who, you know, can end up on a team that's not ran well, i.e. the Milwaukee Bucks, i.e. Sacramento Kings, i.e. What else is a poorly ran franchise?
It's a poorly ran franchise. Actually, truth be told, some good franchises. It's hard to be, you know, if you come to, like, for instance, Michael Beasley going to the Miami, he would screw his career up initially. Sometimes you got to be on a bad team to do something good.
Yeah, but you also need a team that's got an infrastructure that'll put you in the best position to succeed.
All right. Well,
but anyway, when we come back from commercial break, we'll talk NBA.
What about the NBA, though?
You can't say we'll talk NBA. About the Washington Wizards and their game last night against the Miami Heat.
And what else, sir? I'm messing with you.
Oh, we'll also talk about
I'm messing with you.
Phil Jackson and the Knicks.
Exactly, your team. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
The ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
I'm Peyton Manning. I'm Peyton Manning. On the football field, I always had to prepare for the unexpected. My teammates and I train to think fast and be ready ahead of the game. You can be ready with the help of your local American Red Cross. The American Red Cross can help all of us prepare for life's emergencies. Take life-saving CPR or first aid courses. Make an emergency plan or learn how to build a disaster supplies kit. Contact the American Red Cross today.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I like the song so much. I played it again, and I played Peyton Manning, his ad, because I ran out of ad time.
Hey man,
they don't pay me anyway.
We keep it real with the people.
Exactly. Anyway, Washington Wizards. They've been playing good basketball, but they did lose to the Miami Heat last night. What was it, 90-99?
Yeah, 99-99.
Nene hasn't been playing for a while. What should they do when Nene gets back? Because this team is playing good ball without Nene.
Yeah, this team has been hot. As anyone who's watched enough Wizards games knows, when Nene's in the game, the offense kind of runs through Nene from the high post. To his credit, Nene has a very high basketball IQ, very good facilitator in the half court from the high post in that mid-elbow area of the wing. But we've seen when this has been more of a free-flowing offense, it's not kind of predetermined where the offense is going to be initiated from. This team is much better. And I think that's how they should continue to play. Put the ball in John Wall's hands. Let him make the decision in the half court. When he wants to speed it up and get out in the open court, let him do it. But I've always kind of stated, just because Nene is a guy who brings it every night and is overpaid in my estimation, I understand he's kind of the heart and soul of this team and it's good for this team, but I think they need to go with a more free-flowing offense when he comes back. And I know Nene does a lot of things that don't show up on the stat sheet. Like he's one thing I've noticed since he's been gone, he's a tremendous, he boxes out tremendously. Yeah. That may be the reason why he doesn't get a lot of rebounds.
No, that's not a good reason. Because he's lazy. He can box all he wants to. He still got to get a rebound. You're about 7 foot. You ain't rebounding. I like having a guy like Trevor Booker on the team who's balls. Trevor Booker is about 6'8", if that? 6'8". He gets you about, you know, when he, if you prorate his rebounding stats, he averages 5.6. You give him the minutes, obviously he's averaging 10 rebounds a game. Easily.
Yeah, he's not a guy who, when he gets the ball in his hands, the offense stops.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, makes the determination of take it to the basket, pull up, or make a pass, makes quick decisions. Like you said, he's a guy who likes to bang, mm-hmm. isn't afraid of punishment or being physical down on the block. Not to say that Nene is soft, but he's not a guy who bangs a lot on the block.
He's the same guy who complained about playing the center position.
True.
Absolutely. And how tall is he? How big is he?
6'11", 7 feet.
With size.
Yeah, it's not like he's a small dude.
With size.
He has more bulk than most centers and most power forwards in the league now.
So when you look at him, you're like, when you look at somebody like that who complains all the time, you know, complains about how he's not, you know, how he's playing out of position, it's kind of funny to me. But I'm looking at Trevor Booker stacks. I'm trying to look at, you know, what he's been doing for this team. He's a guy who's getting six. He's getting, you know, four boards, six, four, seven, seven, seven. And we're talking about an undersized guy who's not even logging the minutes that Nene usually logs in. You know, he's getting 21 minutes, 7, 27, 16 minutes here and there. With the game, he had 37, give you 7 boards. So basically, when you look at a guy with a Booker, who's a smaller guy, he just shows you effort. Sometimes you want high effort guys on your team. And
You didn't mention is actually Trevor Booker is pretty good on the offensive glass, too.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry. Yeah.
He's a guy who hits the offensive glass pretty hard and creates second chances for this team, actually getting the rebound or tapping it back out.
Mm-hmm. See, but my annoyance about Nene is Nene doesn't even defensive rebound. That's supposed to be easier.
Yeah, true.
That's supposed to be easier. Anyway, let's move on. But the Wizards are playing good ball. Interesting. What do you think is going to happen when Nene gets back? What should they do with him? Should they start him off the bat? Should they limit his minutes? What should they do?
Because I think you only have like 20 more games left, you're probably going to have to integrate them in back into the starting lineup.
Okay.
If you had something like 40 games left, you can, you know, kind of do what they did previously, which is bring them off the bench and work them in slower. But because you're ramping up for the playoffs and, you know, that's still the 3, 4, and 5 playoff spots are still pretty much open, I think you got to bring them right back in and let them go.
All right, let's go down to New York. Phil Jackson will be in the New York Knicks front office.
Allegedly.
What's they said about the finalized deal?
Yeah, they said by the end of the week the deal should be finalized. Okay. But right. We all know that things can happen.
That's true. Things can happen. What will he bring to the Knicks organization if he is going to be in the front office?
Well, from the reports that I've heard, he wants to Skype or telecommute from Montana and Los Angeles Delray. That's not going to work.
Here, lost.
He already lost. If that's his plan, he is not serious about righting the ship in New York. Phil Jackson needs to be there at Madison Square Garden in New York every day to really assess everything from the players to the coach, Mike Wilson,
I got you back, man.
Yeah. To the front office operations, the organizational flow chart. He needs to be there to assess everything. He needs to be on the ground and get a feeling for everything. He needs to go in there, and the first order of business, you know what he needs to do?
Mm-hmm.
Pull Carmelo Anthony to the side and say, look, man to man, let's talk. What are your thoughts? Where are you leaning toward? If I had to ask you right now, where are you leaning towards? And if Carmelo Anthony says, just realistically, I'm leaning towards leaving, then Phil Jackson needs to be there and needs to say, okay, I have a plan for how we'll right the ship. Sell him on that plan. Start to make minor moves towards making that plan come into fruition. And start to right the ship for the Knicks. But if the reports are true that he's going to telecommute and Skype from Montana and Delray, Los Angeles, he's not serious.
He's not serious. But all right. If you're Melo, do you believe in Phil, though?
If I'm Melo.
Do you believe in Phil?
No, because Phil Jackson has never done it as a front office guy. Hmm. Now, you know, there are numerous occasions where this has worked, i.e. Pat Riley,
exactly.
i.e. Danny Ainge. You see what Doc Rivers is doing as the head of basketball operations as the Clippers, but he's also the coach also. So I would ask him, do you plan on coaching this team?
Exactly. There you go.
If he says, I have no thoughts or desire to coach this team at this time, I'll say, well, I'm going to go to your old home. I'm going to Chicago, exactly. And I'm going to go get me a ring.
Exactly.
But I just don't think, you know, it's going to be hard because you're going to have to tell Carmelo Anthony, because they still, after the season, they still have Andrea Bargnani in contract. You still have Tyson Chandler, and you still have Amari Stoudemire. That's like $40 million right there tied up. And you still have Raymond Felton. You don't have a first-round pick. Now, you have two young pieces in Shumpert and Tim Hardaway Jr. Mm-hmm. But if I'm Carmelo Anthony, I say, look, I believe in you as a coach. Only way I'm staying is, are you coaching this team? If he says, no, I'm not coaching this team, I'm gone.
All right, real quick. All right, back on to Phil Jackson. So you're talking about Skype. See, this is the problem with Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson is very arrogant. All right, he's very, very arrogant, and he's got this nonchalant attitude. I don't want to, you know, everybody, you know, obviously his spirituality and whatnot, they play into that and everything in terms of, he's on what, right? He's
Zen.
Sorry. He's Mr. Zen.
Yeah.
So he's calm. He's cool. That's his image, right? But at the same time, he is arrogant. You know what I mean? He is very arrogant.
He deserves the right to. He's won 11 championships.
No. Well, in a different way. He's won 11 championships. He's won 11 championships on his terms. Let's put it that way.
I think anyone that's been successful, they've done it on their terms.
No, but Greg Popovich is a little different.
One would say if he didn't have Tim Duncan, Tim Duncan goes away.
Yeah, but one would say, I would say this, he's actually still won without Tim Duncan in his prime. I think Phil Jackson likes to harp on people when they're in their prime, when they are the so-called the best at their positions. Phil Jackson has been scared to coach teams that aren't, hence, the best at, you know, have players that haven't had players at the best of their position. Because there are teams that try to lure Phil Jackson to coach their team. But I think Phil Jackson is more on his brand. You know, Phil Jackson, his resume, his record. Phil Jackson can only be as great because he's as great as having, say, Scottie Pippen and that MJ guy. Or, say, having Shaq and Kobe. You know, Phil Jackson ain't taking the Charlotte Bobcats.
Well, I will say this. What people fail to mention is people think that anyone can win championships with those teams that Phil Jackson won championships with.
Oh, yeah, I hear you.
That's not true because Rudy Tomjanovich came after Phil Jackson left.
Not the same team. He didn't have Shaq. Shaq was already gone to Miami.
But he still had Kobe. He still had the best player in the league.
Kobe wasn't the best player at that time. Kobe was about scoring 30. He wasn't even about winning. And truth be told, and to be honest with you, Kobe couldn't win even with Phil. When Phil came back, they still had to make some adjustments. They had to get Pau Gasol.
And then Bynum grew into the player exactly. He was.
So Phil had to. They still had to work that.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm. You know,
and get Lamar, and he had to get Lamar Odom too on that team. Yeah, they had to be stacked.
But I'll say this, you know. Not everyone can do what he's done because he has a calming influence on egos.
Yeah,
so he knows how to manage people, which is key.
If you're going to be successful, especially in this New York Knicks situation, I'm not arguing that. Not everybody can coach talent. That's the truth. Same thing applies. Not everybody can make lesser talent into something special. The same thing applies. You know, not everybody can do whatever. But yeah, Phil Jackson, if he can coach, if he can get to New York, I kind of can see him coaching New York and being in front office. But I think it would be on his terms. And it would be
absolutely.
It would be on his terms in terms of if he's not feeling too well, maybe he'll have assistant coach a day. I really believe that. You know, he's living that Jenny Buss lifestyle. He's smashing that. It's true. He's smashing it.
Well, he's part of the Lakers. Well, if he intends on marrying Jenny Buss, then he's already
a part of the Laker family.
A Laker family. Yeah. He already will have ownership of the Lakers.
He has ownership of something else. I was going to talk about the struggling teams in the NBA, but I'm going to skip that. Let's go to the Pacers. Straight to the Pacers. Okay. Andrew Bynum tonight
against the Celtics.
His debut. It's the becoming of the big clumsiness.
Of the big clumsy. of the big lazy.
The big lazy.
The lazy boy. Yeah, me personally, I know a lot of people raved about the signing of Andrew Bynum and trading for Evan Turner. To me,
I like Evan Turner. I like the Evan Turner sign.
I didn't like the trading for Evan Turner because he messes up the flow of the offense. He's a guy who needs the ball in his hands to dominate.
Go ahead. I'll just talk.
And I can see, you know, if you bring him off the bench with that second unit, depending on how you work your rotation, it could possibly work. Andrew Bynum, he's a malcontent. If it doesn't go his way,
it's just the attitude, man.
It's the attitude.
It's the attitude. Like the difference between the reason why I like the Evan Turner situation, he's feeling fit in because Evan Turner has always been one of the guys. He's always been a player that wants to. He's not like he's a gunner. He's not a gunner. Evan Turner, truth be told, Doug Collins tried to get him to shoot the ball. He's a guy who likes to pass more. He can shoot. And he actually defers more, especially in any NBA. He's definitely defers more. He's just of late with the 76ers. When he was with the Sixers, he started shooting the ball too much. But his attitude's always been good. But Andrew Bynum has a jacked up attitude. Period. He's not a team player.
No, I totally agree.
He's
with
not a team player. So
some of the reports that came out of Cleveland, like he would get fussed, like he would if he wasn't getting the ball in the post at practice, when they would, you know, inbound it, he would dribble the ball all the way up like he was the point guard. He would hoist shots from.
He's a kid.
Yeah, he would hoist shots from half court or three quarters court.
Look at this.
He would get mad. He would take off his jersey and throw it on the floor and storm out. Now, I don't know the validity of these reports, but these are just things that are being reported.
Put it this way. You can only go off of what you see out there in the NBA game. We seen him act that way with the Lakers. He would shoot when he got pissed off. He shot a three, and then Mike Brown benched him.
It's just, you know, he doesn't respect Mike Brown.
Maybe that's a possibility. Maybe
another environment.
But why trade? Why bring him into Cleveland when Mike Brown was there?
Well, no, yeah, desperation.
I was thinking that maybe they had some type of good relationship. Guess I was wrong.
Yeah, possibly. I don't know, man.
I
don't think that Andrew Bynum is going to be a big difference maker for this team. Unless he's in the right place mentally and physically. You know, if he's in the right place mentally and physically, he could be a key contributor for this team as they make a run towards the title. But if not, he'll get dominated by Greg Oden in the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. I think Greg Oden wants it more than him. And
me
he's
too.
A good kid that really wants to be back on the scene of being an NBA player. Not even a star, but an NBA player. All right, well, it's about to wrap up. It's a great show, as always.
Of course, man. All right, it was a pleasure doing the show.
All the time. But before we wrap up and give you some little reads, make sure you listen to the show by visiting our site. It's www.wadio.podbean.com. Right now you're listening to us on our live stream, which we're live every Tuesday night. Probably won't be live the next couple of Tuesdays. I'm going to have some software issues and equipment issues of ceiling. So
technical difficulties.
Call them technical difficulties. I'm gonna call it what it is. It's equipment issues.
Okay.
Due to the fact that, you know, the man trying to hold me down.
But you know what Rick Ross said? These ninjas can't hold me back.
These ninjas can't hold me back. I'm not going to say the N-word. But we're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search The Urban Sports Scene. If you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com.
All right. Once again, thank you all for listening to us. Anyone who listened to us live, anyone who will listen to us on our Podbean website. And many blessings to you. And thanks again.
We appreciate it. It's The Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
Get dig.
Welcome home, Boosie!
Ha ha ha!